I have to make a confession to everyone here tonight. When I was in grade school and high school, I wasn't very good at math. So when I went to college, I thought, well, maybe I better sit in the front row and hopefully pay attention and maybe I'll understand things better. And that generally worked pretty well for me, except there was one day that I absolutely dreaded sitting in the front row. It was in calculus class with Mr. Metz, and he started a new theory. He wrote the problem on the board in what looked like Greek to me, a whole bunch of symbols and numbers. It just didn't make any sense at all. So then he went through the solution step by step, explaining, you know, how he went to do the problem. And I was busy taking notes during the whole thing. But then when he was all finished, I didn't have any idea what he had just said or what he did. So then I figured, well, if I looked at my notes and reviewed them, you know, probably I'd be able to figure it out on my own. So then he erased the problem off the board and proceeded to put another one on in its place. Suddenly, I had this great feeling of anxiety over me, and I realized that today wasn't the best day to be sitting in the front row. And sure enough, he called on me to come up and solve the problem. And I was scared to death that I would look foolish in front of all my classmates. But what choice did I have? So reluctantly, I got up. I took the chalk and faced one of the greatest fears of my life. As I approached the board, it was almost like suddenly a light went on in my head, and I proceeded to work through the problem flawlessly, just like I was a teacher. What a revelation. Something like that had never happened to me before, and it's never happened to me since. So I wonder if my experience was anything like what the disciples had when Jesus appeared to them and opened their minds to the scriptures. After all, they were eyewitnesses to Jesus' life and heard the Old Testament scriptures passages that foretold many of the events of his life. And when we look at the miracles of Jesus, it is interesting to see that many of them pertain to the opening of eyes, ears, tongues, and healings of many other bodily parts. And the disciples had been witnesses to all this. They had seen with their own eyes his hanging on the cross. And now after his resurrection, they could see him standing there before them, alive, flesh and bone, wanting something to eat. What then can it have been that they were still incapable of seeing? Our gospel passage tonight is the conclusion of the Road to Emmaus account. Jesus opened the minds of the two disciples on the road by interpretation of the scriptures and by the breaking of the bread. They returned to Jerusalem immediately and reported to the apostles that Jesus had appeared to them. And then, suddenly, Jesus appears to all of them. Are we able to see Jesus in the breaking of the bread, an act that will take place on this altar in a few minutes? Jesus is present to us this very moment in the same way he was in that locked room. Will we be able to see him? The disciples needed a miracle, and so do we. We need the miracle of the opening of our minds to truly and fully understand. Are we capable of knowing and understanding what God has to offer us? Probably not. Understanding what God offers us is like taking a sip of water from a cup or trying to get a drink from a fire hose. Do we embrace it a little at a time, or do we try to take it all in at once and choke on it? Taking it in a little at a time allows us to accept, develop, and see the full benefits, thereby thirsting for more. Taking everything in at once, we become frustrated, and we eventually reject everything. So what can we do to open our minds more to God? The most obvious thing we can do is prayer. It is difficult to do. Prayer is the ultimate form of worship. And God needs only one thing from us, our love for him. Prayer is a great way of showing God our love for him. Prayer is a way of opening our minds to God. Prayer lets God penetrate the deepest and smallest recesses of our body and soul. Make room for something new by getting rid of something old and useless. I told my wife once if she wanted something new that she had to get rid of something old. She jokingly remarked to me, "Well, it's been good knowing you." Needless to say, I really walked into that one. Pray for the influence of the Holy Spirit to be the center of our lives. Pray for the strength and the courage to be the image of Christ in today's world. Pray for the guidance to do what is good, even when everyone and everything is telling you to do the opposite. Whether we realize it or not, we are all inspired daily. It may not be an earth-shattering experience. I'm sure that all of us can recall after what we did or said something that was totally out of character for us, we think, where did that come from? Times occur in our lives when our minds are open and we act or speak in a manner that is totally foreign to us, just like what happened to me in calculus class many years ago. They may be foreign to God, to us, but God sees us in a different perspective. So these moments are not foreign to God. The opening of our minds is a marvelous event. It leads us to places we never dreamed of going, the very places that God wants to bring us, the places where he wants us to be. With him leading the way, we can relax and enjoy the journey.